Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to have some fun tonight.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We are about to start the show.
What up, America? Here we are.
Hold on.
Talking sports with the 12th man. Another episode, people.
We are kicking it off, too, again. Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I, of course, am your host, Andre. Joined in with a lot of folks here, but we're going to have some fun to my main counterparts who maybe will trade for a first-round draft pick. But, again, let's check in with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Well, since Mike's already checked in, I'm doing all right, man. I'm recuperating from a tough football weekend, but, you know, life goes on.
Fantasy did good too, man. So again, we appreciate you, man. So it's all good, and we'll get that to started as well, man. That's what we're here to do: offer a little opportunity to be there to support you too, JQ, man. So we feel you, man. So again, we're having some fun. We got a smorgasbord full of stuff, man. And again, we would not be complete without my other counterpart, Mr. Robert Ford. Rob, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
And doing great. Yeah, you know, not to rub it in, but I actually. LSU, Saints, Pelicans all had victories over the weekend. But my fantasy football teams, oh, man, my fantasy football teams were horrible this weekend. I was 2-4, but had a pretty good week in fantasy basketball. So I guess you can't have it all, right?
We're having some fun, everyone. So, again, we got Big Mike in the background. I think we have one of our Oregon sports folks, either Curtis or Gary, join it in, and we'll get you in a quick second. But let me really quickly throw out the numbers, and we will get this party started as we always like to do for, again, this October 23rd edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So really quickly, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's one way to follow us. And then you can also find us on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. We post all kinds of fun things. We post our show topics as well as posting details about fantasy football, anything that's happening in the sports world. We are on top of that as well. So, again, gentlemen, let's kick it off. We have the Oregon Sports Report here. And, I guess we're going to kind of set the stage, too. So, is that Curtis or Gary? Are you on? I think one of you guys is on the call right now, correct?
Yes, we are. Well, Curtis and I are both on.
Nice.
How's it going, Gary?
First and foremost.
Thank you. Hey, it's going great.
It's raining out there in Portland yet?
it just started today. Just started raining. We had tears on our eyes from our game last night. We lost in overtime to the Wizards.
Yeah.
That was a tough loss.
Yeah, Bradley Beal and Morris, they couldn't miss. They hit 9 threes in a row.
Damn.
They just couldn't miss. And but one of the things I want to talk about is we had 6 seconds left. We got a gift in their guard. His name fails me at the moment. Missing those 2 free throws. And we had 6 seconds left. I wanted to see our team dunk. I wanted to see the highest percentage shot in basketball. I wanted to see our team go up for a dunk, and if they couldn't make it, they were going to be fouled, and they were going to be fouled hard. So we were going to be able to put somebody on the line to win that game.
So with that said, we love
to. So what happened? How did they
Okay, so we have 6 seconds left. We had no timeouts. We had to run the court, which we did. Damian got the layup, went in, he got his shot blocked. Game over.
No foul.
My question is this. No foul. My question is this. Should we have put it in, thrown it into one of our big mans, like our new big man, Collins? Should we have thrown it in there and let somebody like that go in, or do you give it to your playmaker?
I say you always want to give the ball to your best players. And so Damian Lillard or C.J. McCollum should be the guys in the clutch to come through for you. So I say you always want to give the ball to your best players and have them to make a play, whether it is penetrate and kick out or for them to take that last-second shot.
All right, Nurkic, you got another third option. I mean, you know, so I think Collins would be the fourth one, if that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's I've been impressed with him. Zach is he's done quite well. We got a couple of new guys that I've been impressed with in this short season. I've been impressed with Seth Curry and also with Nick Stauskas, I think his name is.
Yeah, that was a great start. I think we did 24 points on opening night over the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think he had 23 last night.
I'm not exactly sure how many points Nick had last night, but he did quite well. You know, we just lost our owner. We wanted to make sure we paid our respects.
Paul Allen.
35 years old when he bought the Portland Trail Blazers, and at that time he was the youngest owner in the league. You know, and he kept the Trail Blazers relevant for a small market franchise. He did quite well. Of course, he's also the owner of the Seattle Seahawks as well.
Absolutely, definitely a pioneer of sorts. I remember he brought those teams together in the with Scottie Pippins and the Rasheed Wallace and teams. He definitely spent money on those teams to try to compete.
Yes, he did. What leaves me talking about Paul Allen is where do the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trail Blazers go now? You know, John Cassano of the Oregonian, he wrote an article and in it talked about, you know, there's a strong possibility of ownership for both franchises. Number one, because Paul Allen's sister, she doesn't want any part of any kind of a sports franchise. And it was basically left to her. So I can see that going. Right now, the people that have the voice for the Portland Trail Blazers is Brent Colvin. He's the vice chairman of the Trail Blazers and the senior director of Volcom, which is who represents the Portland Trail Blazers. And he gives them their voice at meetings and who will, you know, pull the trigger on a trade if Mr. Allen wasn't available at the time. So they're in charge right now.
If the team is up for sale, you don't think new owners would come in and try to move them, would they?
That's a possibility. I mean, you never know. I hope not. I mean, we've got a strong base here in Portland. But you know what? They had a strong base in Seattle, too. And guess what happened to the Sonics? So I'm hoping that that's not the case. Their situation was with, of course, they had the Key Arena at the time, and their situation was a little different than ours because we have the Rose Garden, which is a very nice arena.
I don't think they'll ever let Seattle and Portland leave. I think they'll always try to keep some kind of foothold up there in the Northwest. What they did to Seattle and the Sonics was just Bush League, and I mean they sold out to Oklahoma City. But I would be super shocked if they got rid of the Trailblazers and the Seahawks. They got to have something in the Northwest.
Yeah, and Portland has a tremendous fan base. I mean, they sell out their arena almost every night, regardless of what kind of product they have on the floor, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true, Gary?
Yeah, it is true. That we do have a strong base here. We do love beating those Lakers, though.
Uh-oh. You know, my co-host JQ is a Lakers fan, so so y'all may go at it for a bit.
Hey.
That goes way back.
It absolutely does. That's a Western Conference rival. I get it. They've owned us here recently because we suck, but that's okay. We turned the corner. That's the first thing. That's a tough place to go play.
The Blazers are 2-1, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So far, they had their first loss last night against the Wizards.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And Lakers off to a 0-3 start so far. Out there in the Pacific Division. Well, actually, Portland is in the Northwest Division. Moving on with Oregon sports here. Tell us about the Ducks here really quickly. I know they had a tough outing.
It was a little bit of a trap game. And what you had for the first time, Pullman has been trying to get the NCAA that game day in Pullman for over 15 years, and they've always been denied.
Jacksonville, Florida this week. Shut up, man. It's for the last week.
Go ahead.
They
for 15 years, they've always been pushed aside for another college campus, another college football game. So after 15 years of trying to get game day in Pullman, Washington, they finally came. So that whole side of Washington, the whole part of eastern Washington and northern Idaho, this is their biggest day of college football, maybe the biggest day in their history. And now they got the Ducks coming in. One of the things I want to say about the Ducks and watching what happened to them in the Stanford game, what my observation has been, when they have adversity, they had the adversity in the Stanford game on a very bad call, that should have been a touchdown. The runner kicked the pylon. And after watching the NFL this weekend, I saw many plays in the NFL where they put the ball on the pylon, they put their elbow on the pylon, that's a touchdown. In the Duck game, for some reason, they did not call a touchdown when the guy kicked the pylon on the way into the end zone. Adversity, they lost that game.
Oh.
Now, the adversity of game day being in Pullman and those guys being ready and super jacked up for the Ducks, that adversity seemed to have gotten them again. And we got a new coach in Cristobal. It's his first year, and maybe that's something he's going to have to get used to, is the adversity of the twists and turns and the bounces of the football when they go into games in the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah, you know, Wazoo is known for their offensive, you know, prowess, but they really shut down the Oregon Ducks offense for the whole first half. And
credit their defense
in that game and wound up pulling it out 34-20. But their defense pretty much shut the Oregon down, and no team has really been able to do that so far this year. Justin Herbert at the quarterback position. But Wazoo, got to give credit to the defense on how they started off that game.
Right, they were definitely ready for it. They were jacked up, and I think the Ducks just kind of took them for granted. And hey, Wazoo, they got the W. You know.
Yeah. Wow. Well, before we move on to the rest of the show, I know Gary's. Unfortunately for Gary, he's a Cowboys fan, and
I'm a big time Cowboy fan.
Here we go.
So how do you feel about that Amari Cooper trade?
Hey, I'm thinking that that's a good move. That's going to decide, really, with the Cowboys, that's going to decide whether or not, and Curtis and I were talking about that because Curtis is also a Cowboy fan. This is going to decide whether or not Dak Prescott is that quarterback of the future. Now he's going to have that alpha dog there to throw to. If he can do it, fine. If he's going to go for 150 yards a game, the Cowboys are going to have to move on with him. Trade him to New Orleans for Drew Brees.
Yeah, right. That's not going to ever happen. You have to keep dreaming of that one. Sean Payton and Drew Brees are joined at the hip.
Yeah, they are.
But, yeah, we've talked about that on previous shows on whether or not Dak Prescott is a elite quarterback. And I think for the most part we agree that he has yet to step up and really show to us that he can, deliver throwing a football down the field. And, he has to have other elements in place for Dallas to be successful. They have to have a strong offensive line. They have to have a strong running game. They have to have strong defense in order to kind of cover up some of his deficiencies in the passing game. And so you're right. We will find out. Personally, I don't really see this move really helping the Cowboys because I'm still not convinced that Dak Prescott is that quarterback that can deliver on a consistent basis throwing the football down the field.
But you got to give him an incomplete because he had an old Dez Bryant and an old Jason Witten. If you give him a young number one star receiver and then he flops, then I'm willing to go all in on what you're saying. I think it's trending in that direction, but I can't say that quite yet, and I would never have given a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper has a lot of potential. Third or fourth-round pick, yeah, but a number ones are gold. I don't know about number one.
I thought they overpaid for him.
Yeah. But
and Cooper has really underachieved the last couple of years, too.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to win.
Really quickly, we were talking to – I got a Raiders fan that – shout-out to you, Eric, and he was telling me – about because I was giving him grief because I was like, man, what's up with your boy Chucky? I feel like he's trading everyone. And he was like, yeah, well, Amari Cooper, as you mentioned, JQ and Rob, that he's definitely underachieved and he's kind of like got lost in the shuffle with the Raiders. And you think with a guy with that much talent that he would do something, but, he's just kind of just languishing, as you mentioned. So hopefully it's a new start. Let's say this will be an interesting situation for Amari, a fresh opportunity for him to kind of prove himself. And we'll see if he develops the number one guy, man, because like, he's got like a lot of potential and everything like that. Rob, you want to say anything else as we wrap this up for the Portland segment?
Nope. I think that's it. That's all I have for today.
Well, I've got one more thing to say.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
I think they're going to go up into – I think they're going to go up to Green Bay and – hand on to Green Bay at home.
Wow. Are the Rams at home in that game, I believe, are they?
Are they? I thought they were going to Green Bay. Are they at home?
I think the game's in Los Angeles or wherever they play. Yeah, it's in Los Angeles.
We got a Green Bay fan on the phone,
too.
This is going to be fun. I love it.
In L.A.
No, I just think that I think this is going to be the Rams. Their Rams are the toughest team right now in the NFC.
Oh, absolutely. We got a Packers fan on the line here, and Mike, I'm sure he's going to – I don't know if he's going to pick with his heart or pick with his head, but I definitely like the Rams in that game at home. I think they're going to be a little bit too strong for the Packers. And, obviously Aaron Rodgers doing a tremendous job competing, even with the injured knee. It looks like he's taking a brace off this weekend, but I still like the Rams at home.
Uh-oh.
I thought they were playing in Green Bay, but I like them even better at home.
No, the game's in L.A. The Packers they're coming off the bye this last week. They've got a tough five-game stretch. They've got four games on the road with Miami at home, sandwich game three of this five-game stretch. We got to go to L.A. this week, play a hot Rams team, but we're gonna have the Packers coming off the bye, getting a little healthy. We've got to go. So let me give you a little background on Packers. You know, I'm a fan, and hey, Rob and Dre, I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
We've got at Rams this week. We've got at New England next week, Sunday Night Football. We got Miami at home the following week. Then we got to go on a short week, Thursday Night Football to Seattle. And then we got at the Vikings the following weekend. So we got.
Ooh,
we
that sounds like 1-4 to me.
Yeah, we could potentially be 1-4 coming out of these five games. This weekend, coming out of a bye, we got Rodgers with an extra 2 weeks to rest that knee. We got some receivers back. Our defense has been better than they've been the last few weeks. I think that we lose a close game to the Rams at L.A. this week. I think we beat the Patriots at New England next week. That's my shot.
All right. There we go.
All right.
Hey, guys. Again, we want to say thank you to Curtis and to Gary for joining in. I think hopefully we'll get you guys on. I don't know if this is an every week thing or whatever, but we'll definitely enjoy to do this. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, we are planning on joining you every week. And next week we're going to break down the Portland Trailblazers even more. We're going to break down – we're going to go over their bench – see what we feel, and we're going to give you our mid-season starting lineups for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Wow. All right.
Sounds
I
good.
Man, shout out to again, Curtis and Gary for showing us, giving us some shout out from the West Coast, the Left Coast, as they say. And again, we want to welcome everyone, our listeners, to enjoy that side. And we're going to have some fun. So Rob, we may have to like trim the topics down just a little bit, but again, Curtis, Gary, we're here. And we're joined. This is a Power Pack show. We got Big Mike. So, again, we're always here to show you guys some love. So, again, call in next week. We'll keep this going. All right, fellas?
You got it.
Thanks,
thank you, Gary.
Listening. Yep, thanks. Yep, yep. All right. We're going to let them drop off here. I don't know if we want to have them keep staying on the line for not. If they want to join in, Rob, I guess you can shoot them a text or whatever works out. And we can keep that going too, man. So, really quickly, I think we kind of definitely touched base about the Cooper to the Cowboys. If you want to kind of like add anything else, you know, else to that, you guys certainly can. Just really briefly, I think we talked about the fact that this opportunity for him to definitely step his game up, and we'll see how that plays out, and if Dak Prescott is going to take that next level, and if he's going to prove he's going to be a good man. And I know that's definitely a lot of Cowboys talk. More than what we expected to. So, all good. Hey, gentlemen, let's get to some NFL predictions here. We got about 21 minutes here to dive into this here. So let's kind of kick it off with the Dolphins at the Texans. And really quick, first off the gate, Tannehill, Rob still seems to be out. Brock Osweiler's getting the call again. I'm not kind of sure what's going on with the Dolphins. And I guess what's up with Tannehill is, I guess, the question here, man. And the Texans, you know, they're sitting there waiting too. So what's your call on this game, sir?
All right, who's going first?
Oh, I said I thought I said you, Rob. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I think these teams are trending in opposite directions. I think the Texans are trending up, and I think the Dolphins are trending down. Obviously, the Dolphins are still going to be playing with a backup quarterback here in this game. Watson is still not quite where he was before the injury last year, but you can see in the last couple of weeks it's slowly coming back. And the Texans' defense has been playing outstanding. They finally got a good game out of Lamar Miller at the running back position. I like the Texans at home on a short week. You know how I feel about these Thursday night games. It's tough for the road team to win, even though the Eagles did it, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. But, well, I think the Broncos did it this past week, too. But I still like the Texans at home.
Yeah. Come on, man. Brock Osweiler versus that Texas defense and Houston. Next. Houston by 10+.
I love it. All right, let's keep this going here. JQ, man, has no heart, man. I love it, man. Hey, let's talk about the next matchup here. The Ravens at the Panthers. So, again, Ravens, man, we're going to talk about Justin Tucker. We might as well talk about that, man, and that that loss. He had missed a kick, man, and like ever, man. He picked a long time. So, psychologically, you got to figure out what's up with the Ravens. And then apparently it feels like the Panthers, JQ, are kind of Jekyll and Hyde. And Big Mike is throwing his thoughts as well, too, man. But tell us about this matchup and your calls.
Man, this is really one of those toss-up pick-em games. I mean, you know, that Ravens defense, I think, is starting to get back to that level that we expect the Ravens defense to play at. This is not one I can really take lightly. I kind of just lean to Carolina because they're at home, and I feel like Carolina has a tad bit more playmaking ability, especially when you talk about Cam, you know, Flacco, the statue. Cam can get a little bit out of those situations that the Ravens defense is going to present. And then having McCaffrey and getting Olsen back, I think, is really big for him over the middle. Funches is showing some signs. You know, I still think he's a number two receiver, but he's showing some signs, especially if he can get Olsen open over the middle. I think I'm not super confident in this one, but I'm going to go with the Panthers because they're home, because I think it's just going to be a really close game. I think Cam is able to do just enough with his legs to pull it out. And, yeah, Justin Tucker, the first miss ever on an extra point. Wow. That's crazy. The NFL is nuts.
That dude can't get a burger anywhere.
Well, I think he's done enough over his history for Baltimore. Yeah, I think they'll still treat him well there. He's won a lot of games for Baltimore.
He couldn't get a burger anywhere.
That's funny. He ain't getting no burgers, Mike.
He can certainly have one in New Orleans.
That's funny.
But I agree with JQ's assessment of this game. I like Carolina. I don't like Carolina, let me just say that, but I predict them to win this game. Obviously, I'll be rooting for Baltimore to win, but I think Carolina, they just seem to find where this was a year I actually thought it may be kind of a down year for them, but they just keep finding ways to win. When you look at the way they beat the Giants with that 63-yard field goal to win it at the end, they came back and beat the Eagles 17 after being down 17-0. They just keep fighting, and I like them. Like I said, I don't like them, but I predict them to beat the Ravens. I'm going to say 20-17 Panthers beat the Ravens, even though I'll be cheering for the Ravens.
Big Mike, that's hilarious. He said he can't get a burger. Hey, we just talked about this, and I kind of preface. I know we were just recently talking about the Packers at the Rams. They are at the Rams. Big Mike, I'm going to let you kind of take the floor, man. What's your assessment of this game, man? Do you kind of think what everyone's thinking, or the Rams hot, or can the Packers slow down this train?
I'm biased, so I'm going to try to give some straight analysis here. Mike McCarthy is good after the bye. You look up the numbers. I'm not sure what it is, but I believe it's like 10-2. Rodgers had some rest. We got some receivers back. The defense has been playing better. They've kept the Packers in the games a lot of the games this year. Do I think the Packers are going to win this week in LA? No, I really don't. I think the Rams win by 7. I think it's going to be a close game, and like I said, I think it's going to be a point where, like, a run the table a couple years ago with Aaron Rodgers. He's been saying in the media that he feels like the offense is real close, and if the offense is close with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, I think they can run with any team in the league. I think we lose this week to the Rams by 7. I think we beat the Patriots in Foxborough next week.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. JQ, finish it up.
I'm taking the Rams, especially if they get all those weapons back. And Todd Gurley is just a monster to handle, running and coming out of the backfield on those swing passes. And not really just swinging checkdowns. He's out there running routes if you watch it a lot of times. And I really think he's the difference in that game. I agree. I think it's going to be a closer game than people give it credit for. Give Aaron Rodgers that time.
I don't think it's going to be a 3-touchdown game.
No, I think it's going to be a close game. But I feel like LA is going to be able, with that defense and with that run game, to be able to kind of keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. That's how if you want to beat Green Bay, keep him on that damn bench. And I think the Rams have the ability to be able to put drives together to do that and get just enough stops on Aaron Rodgers to win that game.
If the Rams are smart, they'll just pound the Gurley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of gave my assessments of the game earlier, too. Yeah, I definitely think the Rams will win this game at home. I kind of agree somewhere around the score with Micah saying, I'm going to say Rams 30, Packers 23.
Nice. Yeah. All right, we're going to keep this going here.
I think, you know, just, you know, I'll give my just 2 cents because, you know, I'm trying to ease my way back into the conversation here. But I think the Patriots are beatable next week for the Packers. I think we go out to L.A. We have a hard-fought loss this week. But I think we can go out and beat the Patriots next week.
Two different defenses, yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I really do.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
And if the Packers are 0-2 over the next 2 weeks, hey, we'll beat the shit out of Miami, hopefully, at home the next week. And then we might take 2 more losses. We might be 1-4 over the next 5 weeks. And, hey, we'll take another 10 to 15 draft pick. And we got and Rob, you know, we got your Saints draft pick first round next year too. So we got 2 first-round draft picks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't think I'm just, you know, I'm a diehard. I'm not giving up on the season at this point.
Mhm. All right, let's run.
I love it. Mike. Good call. Hey,
you know what?
Keep it up. Yep. Go ahead.
No, don't cut him off. He'll talk about this for the next 5 minutes. Go ahead.
I wanted him to have this moment too. All right, so the one we went for here, like I said, so let's wrap up the last prediction here. We got the Saints at the Vikings. And, Rob, I know Saints are probably, like, trying to get a little payback for the championship game, but, you know, I know teams are different each season, man. So what say you and the Saints' outlook going into this particular matchup?
Well, I think this is going to be a real tough game for the Saints because if you look at so far this year, the Saints have struggled against teams that have elite wide receivers. And in Tampa and Atlanta in particular, obviously we were able to beat Atlanta in overtime, but we lost to Tampa. It's our only loss so far this year. And now you're going up against Thielen and Stephon Diggs here. And, you know, our secondary has struggled against elite wide receivers. Other than that, the front seven has played outstanding for the Saints, but the secondary has been a hindrance against elite weapons, elite wide receivers. The Saints did make a trade for Eli Apple today. Maybe JQ can give me an assessment of him, another Ohio State guy, joining the Saints to hopefully, you know, help out that secondary. He had a great rookie season, but he's been so-so the last 2 years, so I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to help the Saints this week. I think in order for the Saints to have a chance to win, they're going to have to win in a shootout because, like I said, they're struggling against elite receivers. But I'm going to say, as much as I want my Saints to win, I'm going to say the Vikings wins 34-31.
Yeah, I have a hard time just putting the words out of my mouth that, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to beat Drew Brees because I feel like those teams – pretty much even when I talk about them. Yeah, that, you know, we just talked about Minnesota, but, you know, that New Orleans contingent, especially in that backfield now with Kamara and Ingram, and you talk about Michael Thomas out there, I can't say it. You know, I might be wrong, but I'm going to go with Drew Brees being able to pull it out over Kirk Cousins. I feel like Kirk Cousins is going to make one more mistake than Drew Brees was going to make, and that's the difference.
As an NFC fan, I am more afraid of Drew Brees than Kirk Cousins every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Well, I hope y'all are right. And I'm wrong.
Robbie's trying to go like with that the Jedi mantra. Go ahead.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, like I said, Robbie's trying to pull that Jedi mantra. Every time he bets against the Saints, man, or he says against the Saints, then, you know, we did LSU, we came back and won. So I see what you're doing, Rob. You ain't tricking us, bro. So we'll have some fun.
Hey,
I
don't want to always pick with my heart. We have struggled against teams with elite wide receivers this year.
It's all good. Hey, we got about 10 minutes here. Let's talk about the Jaguars. Call Colin Kaepernick, JQ.
I don't honestly think bringing a quarterback in mid-season, no matter how good your defense is really going to be able to help them in the short term. They need something in the short term. And this is Jacksonville having done this to themselves, where they could have kicked the tires on some free agents and they chose to give Blake Bortles a 3-year extension. That's all on Jacksonville. I would love for him to get a call and be able to be back in the NFL. Absolutely. But
that situation with that and trying to learn on the fly, I just don't think that's good for Jackson. I don't think that's good for him, because if you don't hit the field and be Joe Montana out there, he's going to get ripped apart. And, yeah, I just don't think that's a good idea. Quarterback at that one position, I just don't think you can plug and play like that. He don't know those dudes. He don't know the offense. That's a really tough spot to be in.
Oh, I agree 100% with JQ.
You fell asleep that fast.
He thought you fell asleep.
No, hell no. He's at my house, bro. No, I mean, bringing him in, they're setting him up to fail right now. You know, the Jaguars have played around their quarterback at the end of last year, into the playoffs. You got to have a quarterback that you can put the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And Blake Bortles is not that dude.
That's correct.
Is Colin Kaepernick that dude? I don't know. I don't know. But to bring him in right now, that's a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. And if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I don't want that job.
I don't want any job right now where I got to come in the middle of the season for a so-called contender.
No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
To be honest.
And not to take Blake Bortles' job, who has skirted by on, let's call it rollerblades at this point. I mean, he did just enough at the end of the season last year to get them all the way to the end of our AFC championship.
Mm-hmm.
And probably should have won that if
Jackson had kept their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they re-signed him. It was a bad move. Blake Bortles needs to go. But I don't think Colin Kaepernick is the answer.
Well, absolutely, and all reports indicate that Bortles is going to be on a short leash this Sunday. So Cody Kessler has been getting first-team reps in practice so far this week. So he's definitely on a short leash this week. And Jacksonville just don't look like the same team. And obviously Fournette is out, and the defense is not as playing as well as we expected or as well as they did last year. And, of course, Bortles look like he's gotten worse. But I would agree, Colin Kaepernick, as much as I think he's been treated unfairly by the NFL, it'll be obviously he's been without a league for a couple of years now, so there's no telling how much rust is there and, you know, how much it's going to take for him to get back and game rhythm and all those kind of things like that. Exactly. So I'm going to say no as far as making a call of Colin Kaepernick as well.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Like I said, a couple things, and it is surprising, gentlemen, how, you know, the Jaguars, I think they were kind of one of the faves, you know, as far as what they had happened and just what happened and, you know, doing some incredible things, you know, winning and beating the Patriots, and then all of a sudden kind of changed, and they end up losing the next week, and it's just like, what team did he have? And I'm sure that Blake Bortles guys has kind of lost a little bit of his confidence with everything that's been happening. So, again, I mean, we're not, you know, basically saying you know, that basically it's all over, but, you know, definitely some changes have been made. And whenever you do lose an important piece like a Leonard Fournette, it does change the dynamic of your team, but they're not strong enough offensively at the quarterback position to kind of overcome that. So we'll see what happens. And that defense is strong enough, you know, but they have been, like you said, it's just been a combination of a couple of things. And I don't know if they're looking like a pretender, as Rob and JQ said last week. So, again, we'll keep it going here. 5 minutes,
yeah.
Guys. 5 minutes.
And just one other point about the Jaguars here really quick. They have to be concerned about Leonard Fournette. I mean, his junior year at LSU, he had hamstring issues. And they've been lingering in his first 2 years here in the NFL too. And as great a talent as he is, that has to be a concern, especially with somebody you spent the fourth picking a draft on.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, real quick, guys. Let's talk about the Eagles fourth quarter here. Try to be brief if you guys can set it up, and then we're going to talk about some fantasy shout-outs, and we'll get ready for the OT portion because we are flying through time-wise too. So what about that collapse, Rob, if you will?
Well, I think you had to put some of that on Carson Wentz when you look at that game. He made some bad decisions there in the fourth quarter as far as throwing the football. And also, you got to put some of it on the coaching staff. I mean, they ran the ball one time in the fourth quarter with a 17-0 lead, and with 13 throws. So you got to put a lot of that on the coaching staff for making bad decisions when it comes to play calling, as well as some of the decision making with Carson Winston throws. He threw a couple of times in double and triple coverage where he had guys open in the flat, could have made the easy throw. A couple of plays there in the fourth quarter got the Panthers back in the game, and the Panthers came back and won it, 21 unanswered points. And, I mean, from what I saw, it looked like the Eagles were dominating, looked like they were going to win the game. And just some bad combination of coaching and quarterbacking by the Eagles cost them that game.
Yeah, and it's I agree with you. It's the coaching that's doing it ultimately. I think when you get that reputation with the Philly special and all these other things, that you sometimes you get a little too cute, right? And he's always out there trying to outdo what you just did. And sometimes you get away from the fundamentals. And I think they can still run the ball with Clement as a lead back in Smallwood. But like you said, you got to run the ball. At some point, you still need to run the ball, dictate the flow of the offense, especially when you're trying to kill some clock. You know, you got to walk a real fine line of not being predictable without being reckless. And you know, to your point, I think what they did in that situation in the fourth quarter was reckless. You got to get back more to the center of keeping people off guard, but not taking yourself out of your basic philosophy. So I think it's still fixable. They got to do a better job of keeping Carson Wentz out of bad situations.
Mike,
send us a note. Mike,
you
know,
I think
does Mike even care?
Yeah,
you're good.
What y'all talking about?
Come on, I think the Eagles are fine. I mean, the NFC East is wide open. Who's going to beat them? The Cowboys?
Uh-oh.
They just traded the first-round pick for Amari Cooper. That's maybe a third-round pick tops.
Oh.
Okay. The Eagles are going to be just fine. Keep in mind, Carson Wentz is just getting into his groove. You got Alshon Jeffrey just getting into his groove. Who's going to beat them in that division?
Hmm.
I'm not an Eagles fan. I don't love them. I don't hate them. But they're the Super Bowl champs, as far as anybody's concerned, until February. So I'm willing to give them another, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before I make judgment on them.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, really quickly. I love it, Mike. So Rob, set up the fantasy shoutouts, and we're going to go right into the OT portion because you're at 17 seconds to that. So go ahead, Ross.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty much concludes our live portion of the show. We still got a lot to cover in the OT portion, so you definitely want to click on this same link on tomorrow. We still have more NFL. We have college football. We have some World Series talk, and we have some NBA talk we have to get to. Got to talk about that Rondo-Chris Paul fiasco and that fight. So we got a lot to talk about here in our OT portion. So you don't want to miss. It's probably going to be one of the most liveliest OT portions you've ever seen or heard, I should say. So you definitely want to tune in and click on the same link on tomorrow. Our next live show is going to be next Tuesday night, October 30th, next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central for our friends in Portland on the West Coast. And Seattle, Los Angeles is going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Tuesday night. Real quick, our fantasy shout-outs. Appreciate everybody for competing in our fantasy leagues. In our fantasy football league number one, Eagles Chick for Life, Christelle from Albuquerque, New Mexico, had the biggest win of the week, actually beat my team, and I had the second highest point score in the league. It just so happened to play against her who had the highest point score in the league. Just my luck. 226.06 to 168.68. She's also in first place with a 6-1 record in league number one. In our second league number two, Sean, his team, Black and Gold Patrol, beat Bears Nations 141.96 to 106.06. Sean is out of Atlanta. First place is Hunk Smash, 6-1. That is Chester out of New Orleans. All right, league number three. Fantasy shout-outs here. Let's see. Pelican Fly, that's Rick out of Austin, Texas, 137.76. The Al's Coalholics, 92.82. Unger's Crew, 7-0. That's Matt out of Indianapolis. And last but not least in our fantasy football league, number four, my co-host Andre's team beat my team, Fire on the Bayou, 221-12 to 121.28. Andre is also in first place in that league with a 5-2 record. Fantasy basketball shout outs here really quick. Let's see, my team, Dribble My Nizzle, had a 7-1 victory over Madhouse on Madison. Saints Pelicans 23, that's Ryan out of New Orleans, he had a 7-1 victory over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And also Will out of Madison, Wisconsin, his team, I'm So Harden, had a 7-1 victory over the Jute. And my team, Dribble My Nizzle, is in first place with a 7-1 record. So those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week. Thank you all for competing.
Nice. Nice, Rob. Appreciate you doing that, man. And it took a minute to kind of get back in the groove of things with basketball, so I'm surprised I didn't get killed as bad. But, again, we're making a nice little comeback here. So we are going to keep it going with the OT portion of this. And we're not going to really spend too much time on we talked about Eagles stuff and stuff like that. Let's kind of kick on to Adam Thielen. Man, just putting together some amazing stats. And the question to we're going to start out with JQ and to Mike, do you think he's the best receiver in the NFL right now? So go ahead, JQ, with that.
I have a hard time with the Hopkins and the OBJs and the Julios and Antonio Browns of the world saying he's the best receiver. He's putting up ridiculous stats. Don't get me wrong, and I don't want to shortchange him. I think he's a really good, really a, maybe call him a great receiver, but he's also in a really good situation and good cousins for him. Has really, you know, he came on last year as well with Keenum, but, you know, he's got Diggs on the other side. You know, he's got Rudolph in the middle. You know, so it's hard to double in when you got so many other weapons out there. Yeah. But he said the best.
Crazy.
He said the best. I disagree. I think he's having a good year, but I can't call him the best receiver in the NFL.
He's crazy. Put him in the middle
one
on NFL and see what he does.
Yeah, Mike is not a believer.
Mike's not a believer either? Okay. All right.
Well, I'll say this about him. Yeah. He's probably off to the best start so far of any receiver this season. Obviously, he's got 7 straight games with over 100 yards receiving. That ties Michael Irvin for the most in NFL history. So he's got a chance to break the record this weekend. But I'm still not convinced that I can say he's the best receiver. He's just off to a great start this year. When you're talking about the Antonio Browns of the world, and I'm not sure Odell Beckham is in that category anymore either. But you talk about Antonio Brown, you talk about DeAndre Hopkins, and Julio Jones is having a great year, even though he's not gotten in the end zone yet. So that's kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm. Mike said, what does the eye test tell you?
Like I said, he's off to the best start so far this year. There's no doubt about it. And he's in that conversation. But I don't know if I'm ready to say he's the best yet.
Well, I mean, like I said, not the best, but, you know, but it's tough because, you know, he's actually doing it with – he did it with Case Keenum, and I'm not saying that Case is anything to, you know, sneeze at. I mean, and, yeah, you got Stephon Diggs, you got it pretty – but, you know, he's been pretty consistent, man, so it didn't matter who the quarterback is and, you know.
But
what was that?
You got Stephon Diggs on the other side of the –
Is Stephon Diggs that great, though? I mean, is he like the – I mean, I'm not saying – I'm not
–
I'm
a good receiver.
The question. I'm not – he's a good receiver. I mean, Adam Thielen's doing some work. I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Julio or OBJ or Antonio Brown, but I'm just saying for what we're talking about, he's putting some work in. Yeah, go ahead.
He is. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, but okay. I can't – yeah, I just don't – He's having a good start to this year, but
I think if you put Adam Thielen as the number one receiver on any team, he's going to get shut down by a number one corner on most teams.
Okay, fair enough. All right, like I said, it's just interesting, you know, definitely a conversation, and no one has to agree with it, which is definitely an interesting topic to say the least. hey, we talked about Eagles, and we're not in trouble, but Curtis and. Gary, I hope they call back in because the question really quickly, we don't spend a lot of time about this. We talked enough about the Cowboys. Are they a complete dumpster fire, Rob?
I'm not going to say they're a complete dumpster fire because they have shown something. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, I mean, they just manhandled Jacksonville with 40-7. And I saw a good bit of that game against the Redskins. I mean, they were competitive. And obviously, you take away that defensive touchdown of Redskins score. You know, Dallas has the opportunity to win that game. They get a penalty at the end. They had a chance to You know, I heard something about the Cowboys have a new slogan right now is that we play for ties. But I thought that was funny.
No.
But anyway. But I'm not going to say they're a complete dumpster fire. Their defense has been playing very well. And like I say, you take away that defensive touchdown the Redskins got right there on the goal line, and the game could be a different story here. And you get a penalty that backed them up on a game-tying field goal, and that really hurt them as well. So I think they're going to be a competitive team, definitely not a playoff team. I think they'll be in a lot of games, but they'll be somewhere in that 7-9, 8-8 kind of mix this year, even with the Amari Cooper addition.
Yeah, and I was going to touch on that. I agree in terms of that record, but I tell you what, those two guys need each other. And I hope they can really come together. And I don't necessarily think they have to have Zeke in that conversation, but him as a wide receiver trying to get back to where he thinks he should be, and Dak trying to silence all the haters, saying that, that, you know, people aren't sold on him yet. They need to get together and say, you know what, bro, I love you. I don't even know you yet, but I love you and I need you. And you need me. And we got to make this happen. I really do.
Mississippi State and Alabama are going to come together.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it. I really find it interesting, though, that, you know, as we say, you have to have a pocket passer, you have to have a pocket passer, that they are starting to find more of their niche when going to more of a college kind of offense back when, you know, when RG3 was kind of doing it with that, you know, read option with him and Zeke. If they can get Amari Cooper to learn the playbook just a little bit of it, to have him be, you know, okay, I can fake it to Zeke, I can run it, or I can raise up and throw it. If Amari can kind of distill that for somewhat, if they could, because I feel like they've accepted that identity, if that's who they're going to have to be given their personnel, right? And to be successful, I'm really interested to see that. So I don't think they're a dumpster fire. I think if those guys come together, they got a chance to be hard to beat because the Dallas defense hasn't really been playing bad either. But I don't think they have enough to get over the top. But they're going to be a team that you're going to be like, dang, they played us close this week. We won, but we was in the fight.
Is Mike going to say anything on that?
No, Mike has walked away. He started laughing at Rob. Okay. Told him we played for ties, and he walked away laughing.
Gotcha. We'll keep this going here. I love it. Hey, so the next question here, if Mike ever wants to join back in, just let me know because I'm just kind of adding in if needed here. Really quick, let's talk about Baker Mayfield's performance. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead.
Well,
yeah,
he actually had a, from a stats perspective, he had a really good game this past weekend against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Obviously, they just couldn't come through. You know, when it counted the most there. But after the, so far this year, though, he's got a 78.5 rating. That puts him at 29th in the league, just ahead of Marcus Mariota. And the bottom three in terms of passer rating so far this year, check this out, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. So four out of the five at the bottom are the rookie QBs that were highly drafted. Obviously, they are rookies, and it's going to take them some time. But four out of the five as far as passer rating, Mariota is still in that mix. But Baker Mayfield, he won his first game as a starter. He's 1-3 now. He's 1-3 now as a starter. But he probably had his best stat game this past weekend against Tampa. But here's the concern if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. Your coaching staff, when you talk about a quarterback of Baker Mayfield's height and his limitations from that standpoint, you have to make sure that you have a great interior offensive line to open up that for him to be able to step up and throw the football in that pocket. And that's one of the things that I know Sean Payton has done a tremendous job with Drew Brees is to make sure that center and guard-guard tandem is top-notch. To make sure you protect the, especially with the quarterback with their limitations and their height. And they're going to have to do the same thing in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield for him to have sustained success going forward in his career.
Yeah, and I think about it, you touched on it with that stat. I mean, it's growing pains. They're still rookies. And sometimes when you're a rookie quarterback, a lot of times you go to a bad situation where a team is not ready to win quite yet, and they drafted you because they were drafting in the top five. You know what I mean? So you got to take that in consideration that what he has to deal with in terms of around him and having a team that doesn't really know how to win quite yet. So they're, but I tell you what, that Cleveland team is freaking entertaining. They are in every game. They go into overtime, it feels like, every week. You know, given what Cleveland was, I feel like that is really a step in the right direction. I hate that, them being, you know, an AFC North rival. But they have to make it. So it's like, you got to pump the brakes. You're going to have some uneven games. Like you said, his stats were good, but, you know, sometimes stats don't matter in the winning time. You're going to make winning plays. And it takes a little while with a team that doesn't know how to win to get to that point.
Yeah, you're right. And I still think – I think overall, from a talent perspective, they're headed in the right direction. And Woody, I think he had over 300-some yards passing this weekend. And I'm sorry, he had 215 yards passing and two touchdowns. So, I mean, not bad. He was 23 out of 34, 215, two TDs.
Nice. Cool. I love it. All right. Again, let me know if I need to jump in here. Let's talk about some interesting situations here.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell, the dude is killing us, not only not playing fantasy-wise, but just, you know, hanging out in Miami. I don't really know what's happening with Le'Veon. So the question is, you know, if is he just kind of sitting out, if he's really upset with what's happening? And I guess the interesting thing is about the Colts, and I guess should they make a trade for Le'Veon? Because, again, you know, Andrew Luck, I know he was, like, you know, deemed the second coming, but they're still looking for that running back, man. Could there be kind of a match made in heaven, JQ, or is this kind of like wishful thinking, pie in the sky, if you will?
I'll tell you what, I really do think that's a match made in heaven. If you look at it, if they can keep T.Y. and Andrew Luck upright, you add some adding Le'Veon Bell to that, and Eric Ebron, real quiet, like, has scored a lot of touchdowns for the Colts this year. I would trade for Le'Veon Bell and use my whole draft on defense and offensive line. That's all I would do. And sign him in free agency and be with those guys. And maybe try to get a wide receiver on the secondary free agency market on the cheap to pair with T.Y. Hilton. But I would absolutely give up that first-round pick for Le'Veon Bell if I could sign him to a long-term deal that wouldn't cripple me moving forward.
I would love to have had that deal on my first pick of the fantasy football draft.
So, yeah, I think that's a smart move to Indianapolis if you can get him for the right price.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can obviously give him a contract that he wants and feels like he deserves and keep him there for, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years, 5 years maybe, keep him healthy, obviously with Andrew Luck. And you talk about the Cleveland Browns being entertaining and been in a lot of games. So have the Colts when you really look at it. They've lost a lot of close games already this year. And, I mean, they finally had a real big win this past weekend over the Buffalo Bills. Now, they are a dumpster fire. Now, they beat them 37-5. I mean,
yeah.
I think one team was playing football and the other one was playing baseball. And the Colts beat him with 37-5 this past weekend. So Bell could be the missing piece that can help their offense as well as, in turn, help their defense as well. But
I
don't see it happening, though. I think it's really just fun talk, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but I like it on paper for the Colts. I do.
Absolutely.
So, Colts, just really quickly, JQ is willing to be your GM. So, reach out to Jaquan Jenkins here, and he'll definitely get you going in the right place as far as being your next GM, because he's got all the answers from that perspective, if you will. Gentlemen, we're still making progress here as we keep this moving here. Should the Chargers feel good about themselves, though, Rob?
Well, when you look at their two losses, they lost to the Chiefs and the Rams. And, I mean, they had a nail-biter against the Titans. But you knew the Titans were going to be a little bit more competitive after the way they played against the Ravens the week before. I think they should feel pretty good about themselves. I think they're 5-2. And I think, you know, from what my eyes have shown me so far this year, so far they look like the third-best team in the AFC, and that's behind the Chiefs and the Patriots. And obviously one of them is in the same division with them, so that's going to make them a wild card if it keeps going on that pace. But this is a team I thought at the end of the season last year was playing as good as any team in the AFC. So I'm curious to see how they finish the season. They're going to get Joey Bosa back, I believe, here in a couple of weeks. So the defense is only going to get better. And Melvin Gordon didn't play on Sunday. I think this is still a team to watch. And I think, you know, like I said, from what my eyes have shown me so far, they look like at least top three team in the AFC.
And I totally agree. I mean, when you look at, you talked about those two losses. I mean, you lost to the two best teams that everybody's super hyped about. That's your only losses. You find ways to win. You got a veteran quarterback in Phillip Rivers. Melvin Gordon was showing out until this past week where he didn't play, where he was getting, you know, 2-3 touchdowns a week. I mean, that Chargers team is for real. We talked about it when we talked about the AFC West previews, that we thought the Chiefs were just a tad bit better than them, and it kind of turned out to be that way. But I feel like you can go ahead and book that one wild card spot between whoever loses that division. The Chargers are playing really good ball. They're just fantastic about themselves. And they don't have Everett. So, I mean, imagine if they had him on the other side of Casey Hayward. How ridiculous that.
Very good Rivers. I mean, he's not his best anymore.
He still finds ways to win.
Good.
Yeah. Chargers for excellent.
I love it. Really quickly, yep. So we kind of talked about that. And, hey, Rob, so let's kind of get you back to you here. Let's talk about, really quickly, just a lot of – we talk about this as much as I hate the Saints. Again, I'm definitely a fan of Drew Brees and what he's been doing. He throws his 500 touchdown pass. I think that's – he's making moves. I think only two other people have beaten or higher than him, if I'm not mistaken, Rob. Please forgive me if I don't have that in front of me. But congrats to Drew Brees, seeing a Hall of Famer in action and seeing his work is just amazing. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, it seems like every week he's breaking some kind of a record now. But, yes, he threw his 500 and his 501 TD passes this past weekend. So that puts him in the exclusive 500 touchdown pass club. Peyton Manning's still number one in that category. Brett Favre is two. Tom Brady is three. Now Drew Brees is four. But both Tom Brady and Drew Brees is knocking on passing up Brett Favre here pretty soon, probably in the next few weeks in that category. So, yeah, congrats to Drew Brees again on another tremendous accomplishment from the quarterback position.
Class to be in.
It truly is. Drew Brees.
Ridiculous.
Drew Brees is a machine, and
what nobody realizes, you know, the average fan doesn't realize is that this dude is doing things that all those other names you just said, everybody's Hall of Famers, right?
They're going to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to be 100%.
Yeah, no, Drew Brees, I love Drew Brees.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about it, when we talk about quarterback rankings and this, that, and the other, there's a holy triumvirate to me of quarterbacks right now is Aaron Rodgers, is Drew Brees, is Tom Brady. What he's doing, it doesn't shock me with given what he's the pace that he's been on, but you know, he's just gonna put up video game numbers. It's ridiculous. Dude seems like he's a really good dude, he's a class act, and you know, like I said, I don't like this or like the Saints, but I like Drew Brees. I think most people,
I don't like the Saints, but I like Drew Brees.
I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Drew Brees.
Yeah. A lot of love, man. A lot of respect, man. So, again, we can all agree on that. And you're definitely watching Hall of Fame reaction. He's definitely an elite quarterback. Hey, let's keep this going here. Sekou, JQ, Mike, as far as the Broncos defense, man, you talk about just a butt-kicking, man. So, if you had a Broncos defense in fantasy, that was probably a good pick for you. Didn't know if I saw this coming. It's kind of not that I didn't see it coming, but, I mean, you knew that the Denver, they were going to be focused. They just kind of like just manhandled, and Josh Rosen became the first quarterback to throw like two pick sixes, if you will, and messed up Arizona so bad that Patrick Peterson, my cousin, is asking for a trade from Arizona here. So, man, what say
and
you about
that?
That's
what we thought Saints was going to give, but we got Eli Apple instead.
Yeah, that's happy.
I know. If Buffalo is a dumpster fire, then Arizona is a landfill fire. They are just and hard to watch. And it's just like, damn, I don't blame Patrick Peterson. I'm surprised, really, the Lakers were able to stick around there without wanting to go somewhere and try to get him a cheap ring. They are nowhere near it. When you fire your offensive coordinator the next day, yeah, you get a lot of issues having in Arizona. I think Denver is a really good situation. Don't get me wrong, Denver has a good defense. But they rolled into a prime plum matchup where they could just go out there and eat all day long, and that's what they did against Rosen and that Arizona team. It was bad. I just turned it off, and it's very rarely that I turn off the game. But it was like, my word.
I haven't seen that since this morning. I saw Patrick Peterson was looking for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
What's the status?
Jim said he ain't gonna trade him.
Oh boy, that's gonna be ugly.
Yep, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly.
All right, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Rob?
That was definitely one of the better defensive performances. Red Sox officially won here this game, 8-4. It was over a while ago. But anyway, the Broncos were definitely one of the better defensive games I've seen them play in over a year here. Two defensive touchdowns, two pick six, set the tone early in that game that they came to dominate. I mean, they played like they wanted to eat the Cardinals' children. I mean, they came out aggressive. Yeah. And their front seven was outstanding. They put a lot of pressure on Josh Rosen in that game and got him rattled. And, you know, overall, it was a tremendous performance by their defense. They turned the ball over. They forced turnovers is what I meant to say. They stopped the run. And they were tremendous in pass coverage as well.
That was just a whooping, a full-blown whooping.
Yep.
That was just some come and get it. All right. Let's talk about really quickly here, Eli Manning and the Giants' performance on Monday Night Football. So it feels good for the Falcons. I'll let you kind of talk in that class. Go ahead, JQ.
Well, I was there, and because I got lucky on some tickets late through the company. I took my homeboy. That's a Giants fan. And yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You know how it is. And I was there, and it was tough to watch. Even being there, we were just looking at each other like, what is going on here? Will they stop running the tall sweep every first down? Like it was really bad. It was a horrible offensive performance. And I know those are two teams with bad records, but I was expecting a 35-30, two bad teams playing where they just can't stop each other. This is two teams that just, for all the talent they both have on both sides of the ball, it was just inept, and it was hard to understand. I don't know how Pat Shurmur is still calling plays. I don't know how Steve Sarkisian still has a job. Can I just say that? For the Falcons, I don't understand it. Both of them, to me, are wasting prime years of Julio and OBJ and a whole bunch of other people. So it's about that time to put Eli as a passer. I know you don't want to do it in the middle of the season, but my Lord, that dude looks close. He's looking at the rush, and that's the problem. He's not looking and feeling the rush and keeping his eyes downfield. As soon as he sees somebody, he says, oh, my God, and he's going down, and it's over. And
OBJ did drop the pass.
He did, but it's a lot of times he missed OBJ open. We watched him. Oh, my God, Eli. He did. But Eli,
that ball did not get touched.
Eli missed him for three quarters. I watched him miss him in person.
Wow.
So, yeah, Eli's holding him back massively. And Pat Sherman.
Yep.
And Pat Sherman.
Nothing brings more excitement than have Rob talk about the Falcons. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago that Eli is done. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but there's a lot of Giants fans complaining that the Giants traded the wrong Eli today. And it's true. You can go online and see it. A lot of Giants fans complaining that the Giants traded the wrong Eli on today. Mm. And but, you know, his stats are a little misleading. He had 399 yards passing, a touchdown. Most of that was in garbage time in that game where they were down by two scores. So his stats are definitely misleading. I mean, the plays when they were right on the goal line, man, and he couldn't punch it in, man. What was that?
Right.
And, I mean, like, what was that? Yeah, and either find a way to get a quarterback via trade this offseason, or they're going to look like they're going to be near the top of the draft again. As of, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks, they climb near the top of the draft every year. We know that. So we'll see. I mean, most experts now think the highest rated quarterback, Justin Herbert, is somewhere around the middle of the first round as of right now. But we know how that works. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks always climb near the top of the draft.
Yep. Always get artificially inflated.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about – we're going to recap really quickly. We're going to kind of make some noise here. We're going to talk about some college football here. Let's recap really quickly Colorado and Washington, Rob.
Well, if you look at this, Washington had to have a statement drive near the end of this game to win, similar to what they did, you know, when they had to not Oregon because they lost again. Really, it was against Oregon. They had a statement drive against Oregon, but they settled for a field goal. In this case, they had a statement drive, and they got a touchdown and helped seal the victory over Colorado. And so Jake Browning put together a dominating four-quarter drive, helped them to seal the deal late. You know, 26-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Fuller. And like I said, they had a great drive against Oregon. If they would have closed that out with a TD, probably would have won that game. But it really hurt them. So they nailed it down this time against Colorado. And obviously with Oregon losing, it kind of puts them right back in the running for that Pac-12 North title. And might have a showdown with Wazoo in the Apple Cup, might decide the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about Colorado. Eric Bieniemy and Cordell Stewart ain't walking through that door. I just it ain't happening for Colorado. It definitely ain't happening at Washington. Washington is a good team. They just gave that game away against Auburn. Like you said, they couldn't close against Oregon. I think we can just go ahead and close the book on the Pac-12 in terms of the national championship. I just don't think
absolutely
that's what happened. So you can go ahead and take them out and run it. And that's part of the reason why I never wanted to go to expand the playoffs, because every year there's one conference that doesn't have a deserving champ. I think four is just the right number, but I digress. Washington did what Washington was supposed to do against Colorado.
All right. This is going to be painful, but man, we got to talk about this. Man, just a shocker, and that Purdue kind of knocks off Ohio State. So, JQ, man, you feeling okay, bro? I mean, do we need to, like, have an intervention for you, man? How are you, man? You okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's
straight up handcuffs for this dude.
It's shut up. It's Iowa all over again, and, you know, there's reports of tension, you know, with Urban Meyer and Jinx Swift, the AD. If I'm being honest with you, they haven't played as well as they did when he was gone since he's been back. And he don't look right on the sideline. I don't know what's going on. There's still the whole investigation and the aftershocks of it, but it's also rippling through that team. And you can just noticeably see it. If you didn't know that was the number two team in the country, you wouldn't have believed it. There's nothing else to be said. There's no excuses. They got whooped. And they got whooped again for the second year in a row against a team they weren't supposed to lose to. But they went on the road and couldn't handle adversity. And it is what it is. You know, Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. And
Bill Parcells?
Your record is what it says you are. And that's who they are.
You are who
and
you
that
are.
Defense is, yeah, that defense is horrible. And they can't run the ball. And that will not get it done. End of story.
Yeah. And it seems every year, Urban Meyer team, they have one game where they just lay an egg and they look horrible. Most years in the past, they've responded and, you know, almost like waking up a sleeping giant, and responded really well. So we'll see if this Ohio State team can respond to similar teams in the past. Look at this game here. Purdue had the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, the Big Ten Special Team Player of the Week, and the Big Ten Freshman of the Week, all in this game from beating Ohio State. Offensive Player of the Week, David Blue, the quarterback from Texas, threw for 378 yards, three touchdowns. Wow. Defensive Player of the Week, Marcus Bailey, a linebacker, actually is from Columbus, Ohio. Had 15 tackles, 8 solo stops, returned an interception, 41 yards for touchdown late in the fourth quarter to cap the victory. And then the Special Teams Player of the Week, Joe Schuper, the punter from Indianapolis, averaged 43.3 yards per punt in Purdue's victory. Rushed for a first down on a fake field goal as well, placed two punts inside Ohio State's 20-yard line. And then a Freshman of the Week, Rondell Moore for Purdue, racked up 252 all-purpose yards. And Purdue's win finished with a game-high 12 receptions for 170 yards and two touchdowns. Wow.
A whooping?
Why are you rubbing that in, Rob? Why are you rubbing it in, man? Come on, man.
Oh, I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just, you know, talking sports.
He went hard on us. That's okay. We deserved it. We got whooped. That's what happens. We get whooped on prime time.
Washington State, go ahead. I was going to try to get off of that, JQ. Do you want to talk about Washington State knocking off Oregon? We were talking about them, how great they were doing, and then, boom, this happened. Same. Take a little off of you.
Yeah, we already talked about that. Let's get to the predictions. They got their shine in the beginning.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll make
sure.
Cover that.
Okay. We just want to make sure you're cool with that. Number 9, Florida, at number 7, Georgia. Good call. Georgia had a little bye week. They're going to lick their wounds after getting beat by LSU? Are they going to be kind of ready to go, going to be mad? This is a pick 'em. Go ahead, JQ.
You know what? I just don't really still trust that. I don't trust Jake Fromm. And I don't think they've done enough to get Justin Fields fully ready. But every time he comes in, he runs the ball. They don't throw the ball with him at all. And if I'm being honest, having lived out here at this point, I feel like there are years that Georgia has had a better team than Florida. And Florida not only beat them, but they beat them handily. And I'm sorry to say for my Georgia fans around here, I think Florida finds a way to win the cocktail party again. And it might be the nail in Georgia's season in terms of the championship hopes, but – you know, I could see them beating Florida, but just if for whatever reason, you know, that rivalry game with Florida, when they have a better team, they don't always perform like they're supposed to. I'm taking Florida.
I agree, actually. I thought I was going to be by myself on this one. But really looking at it, Florida is playing better than Georgia. And from the defensive side of the football, and they're running the football really well on the Dan Mullen. The offensive line is playing well. Neither team is really that great throwing the football at this current moment, but I like Florida in this game. I know Georgia is going to come out angry and motivated, but I know Florida will be as well for this rivalry game, and I like Florida. This Florida team's only got one loss this year as well.
Not back when to say anything. Number 18, Iowa. Number 17, Penn State. Go ahead, Rob.
I tell you what, this is a tough one. I have not been that impressed with Penn State. I actually think Iowa's playing better right now, but I'm going to give the edge to Penn State by a field goal at just because they're at home and finding a way to win this one at home.
They can do it with two losses. Yeah, the thing about it is it's hard to trust James Franklin right now. His inability to close games. He couldn't close against Ohio State. He couldn't close against Michigan State. If this game is tight down the stretch, and, you know, did the Penn State fans and all the football players as well start looking at each other and saying, oh, goodness, here we go again. So they got to battle that. And they're going to have to get out to a lead so they don't have that doubt to start to creep in the fourth quarter. But until I see James Franklin do it, I got to go with Iowa. I know it's tough to go on the road and win in any conference, but James Franklin just has not shown me the ability, at least in this year, to be able to close out a game. So I'm going to go with Iowa.
Rob, number 14, Washington State at number 24, Stanford, Rob.
I tell you what, I like what I saw out of Washington State from both, surprisingly, from both offensive and defensive side of the football. And Stanford has been kind of up and down this season. I'm going to go with Wazoo over the road victory against Stanford.
Whoa. Yeah, I think all that magic they just had them pull them quickly dissipates as they go to Stanford. And they put that brand of influence on them. I do. A perfect storm, like you talked about, game day being there, you get hyped up, and you cannot discount that. You have, you know, that kind of atmosphere, and teams play outside of themselves. I just think they got, you know, they caught lightning in the bottle, so to speak, last week. I think they come back to earth a little bit. I think Stanford wins.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about the World Series here. Let's talk about a quick recap of game one and kind of the preview. I know game two is probably I'll get you out too. So go ahead, Rob, do both of the recap and the game two as well. Rob, we'll kick it to JQ.
Well, I'll be honest with our listeners that once the show started at 10 o'clock, I kind of fell off of from the game a little bit there. But Kershaw got off to a little bit of a rocky start early in the game here tonight. But, you know, for the most part, it was pretty much an even game when he exited the game, and the Red Sox just pulled away from the fifth inning on through the ninth inning to pull away and win this game 8-4 and doubled up the Dodgers.
Yeah, and, you know, if they would stop having 4.5-hour games, we could maybe get to the end of the game so we could see it.
Yeah.
So we could talk about it. You know, baseball has to do something about some of these games. I think what you have happened is Kershaw. I mean, you touched about it on the text message. I just, with his injuries now, he's still a really good, you know, cerebral pitcher, but he doesn't necessarily have the stuff to do what he wants to do. And then right now in 2018, you can't be topping out at 91 miles an hour and be effective, especially against that kind of Boston lineup.
He didn't last through the sixth inning.
Yeah, but in these playoffs, you see him pulling those pitchers a lot more earlier and going to the bullpen. So I didn't really expect a lot of start pitchers to go six, seven, eight innings into a game. But you also can't come out on the road and give up two runs in the first inning.
If they went Boston 5-3 tonight, it was over.
Yeah, yeah, you can't spot Boston two runs in the first inning. That's to me. I know, but the start of the game, we hit Kershaw for two in the bottom of the first, and you just can't get off to that kind of start if you Kershaw against Boston on the road. You can't give him that kind of life that early in the game. And I just don't think he has that fastball to be able to back all the other secondary and third pitchers off of it. And I think that's, you know, for some teams you can get away with that against that Boston lineup. So I think it's going to be a struggle for Ellie. I really do, even tonight and moving forward.
Yeah, and the bottom line is the Red Sox has the lineup. They have the pitching. Probably have the best defensive outfield in Major League Baseball history. They're going to be a tough out. It's going to be really hard for them to win. I mean, even in the – I don't think the weather conditions are as bad or affecting the Dodgers as a lot of people think, but I think it's more so the Red Sox and their roster and their talent. And I hate the Red Sox with a passion, people.
Yeah, but that's all.
Robbie, like, I'd be hating the Red Sox with a passion. I love it. Hey, man, let's keep this moving here. Let's kind of talk about some NBA. We could talk about Brad Ausmus becoming the manager of the Angels here. No, you want to talk about that? Okay, all right.
I mean, because they're wasting Mike Trout. They're wasting Mike Trout. I hate that Mike Trout is out there language him for a bad Angels team. Brad Ausmus can't go out there and play and pitch and coach. So, I mean.
Jake Hughes obviously got some issues he talked about.
I'm just saying they're wasting Mike Trout. Mike Trout is a stud that if he was playing for the Yankees or the Red Sox or something like that, as good as people that like baseball know he's good, he would be a way transition star. Because we talked about Brad Ausmus being hired as the Angels manager.
Oh, well, you got the agenda on your phone.
Yes, so hush. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, Detroit Tiger, he was actually in the Angels front office, and now they're bringing him to the managerial position. So we'll see. I mean, he had 4 years as a manager with the Detroit Tigers. You know, historically, catchers turn out to be great managers in baseball. And sometimes these, if you look at head coaches in professional sports as well as managers in baseball, a lot of times they're better the second go around. So we'll see if he learns some things. He had some intermittently success in Detroit. And, you know, then he went through a wholesale franchise rebuild. So we'll see. You know, he's in a big market. They're going to spend money. So we'll see. They're going to give him an opportunity to succeed. It's going to be up to him to do it.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Recap the Clippers and the Pelicans, Rob.
Yeah. Watch that game tonight. Obviously, the Pelicans got what I think the final score was 116-109. Pelicans off to a great start, 3-0. I tell you, their front line has been outstanding. Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, and Mirotić have been quite outstanding. And I agree with Stephen A. Smith. What was Magic Johnson and the Lakers thinking for letting Julius Randle go? He's been averaging a double-double for the Pelicans. He's been outstanding. He's even added a three-point shot to his game. And the Clippers actually played so far this year probably the best defense against the Pelicans. But they still put up 116 points. They had 131 and 149 in their first two games. Even though the Pelicans are 3-0, I guess if there are some areas of concern for the Pelicans so far, obviously their defense as well, I thought played better tonight, so we have to see if they can continue to do that long term. And obviously they're going to give up a lot of points just because of the pace they play. They play an up-tempo style. Elvin Gentry likes to push the pace. But I thought their defense was better, but, you know, that's still an area of concern for the Pelicans. And also their free throw shooting has to be better for them to be successful, I think, as well going forward. They have to improve. I think these last two games they really didn't shoot the ball well from the foul line. And I think they have to improve in that area going forward if they want to be the team that they want to be this year. But off to a great start overall, 3-0.
Yeah, the one thing I wouldn't be so concerned about with the defense is because I feel like the NBA has gone the way of the NFL where you can't do anything anymore. And look at the scores around here. You know, teams are giving up 110, 115, 120, like it's nothing. And I don't know if it's going to catch up as the season goes on. They're going to start playing better defense across the league. But that's not a Pelicans thing. That's an NBA thing. These schools, I mean, the Lakers gave 129 to the Trailblazers. Like, you can't do that. But these scores have been ridiculous. So I'm just saying, for you, in terms of being a Pelican fan, I don't know if I'd be as worried about that, because that just seems to be the way the league is going.
Yeah, you're right. It is a copycat league as well. You got to look at the Warriors. They started at up-tempo pace, and now a lot of obviously Elvin Gentry was on that. He was an assistant, and it was kind of like the de facto offensive coordinator on their first championship team. So he's bringing that same style of play to the Pelicans as well. And you see the rest of the league is, anytime you have a team that's successful at that style of play, it's going to be a copycat league, and you're starting to see that around the league as well. Positionless basketball, too.
Hey, gotcha. Rob, be happy that you're a Saints fan.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I guess he's saying he's not a believer in the Pelicans.
That was a good call. Hey, we'll wrap this up, but
I think they're going to be better than a lot of people think. You know, I predicted they'll be the third best team in the Western Conference. And so far, I haven't seen nothing that's distracting me from that.
Be a Saints fan, Rob.
Okay, go ahead, Dre.
I was going to say, appreciate the topics, Rob,
love
but
you.
I am a little upset that – yeah, it's what I love. I'm a little upset that we didn't mention anything about Trae Young, man, how he became the, fifth player to have that stat, man, 35 points, 11 at least 10 assists in the game. Only players to accomplish that were obviously were Curry – Steph Curry, LeBron James, Allen Iverson, and Jason Kidd, man. I think that was a pretty good coming out party for him, even though it was against the hapless Cavs. But that's a pretty good stat line, and Trae Young definitely put on his show. And, you know, you guys want to talk about that, because I think that was pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, like, Mike is messing with me. It's a good thing you're a Braves fan, Andre.
Here it is. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's all good, but at least there's a little there's something around the horizon, hope in the future. We ain't there yet, clearly. And then I'm going to the game on Wednesday too to see opening too. That's gonna be fun to see Luka Doncic and the Mavs. That's gonna be interesting as well, man. So I'll report back from that as well too. So pretty excited about that too. So getting to see the new State Farm Arena. We're gonna have some fun with that. I'm trying to be like JQ when I grow up. Hey, let's make this happen.
Now the State Farm Arena is that a brand new arena, or they just remodeled Phillips and changed the name?
They just sold the name.
They just
sold
the name and also.
They're
so
doing renovations and everything. Yeah.
Oh, it's a renovation. Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused about
renovation.
That.
Yep. Really quickly, let's talk about this breakdown of.
I'm going to say, if you have 1,000 chips and you're talking about putting 500 on the Saints and 500 on the Pelicans, I'd put all 1,000 of them on the Saints.
He's so talking about this. I love it. He is so talking about this. Big
I never say the Pelicans are going to win the championship this year. So, I mean,
that is
I do agree. I think the Saints have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl this year than the Pelicans have of winning the NBA championship. I would definitely agree with that.
Yes. Okay, go ahead, Dre. He'll take out the
Mike is going all in. Mike is going all in. Oh,
I love it. Oh, man. He ain't talking about his Milwaukee Bucks, though.
Uh-oh.
He likes the Bulls because he's – go ahead. You remember him? He's the only
– Oh, you definitely know what I'm talking about, the Bulls.
Yeah, them either. Not right now.
Really quickly, do a quick breakdown of the Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo fight, man. Rob.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, these two guys have not liked each other since – I remember when Chris Paul was with the Hornets. These guys were getting into it when Rondo was with the Celtics. So I clearly, these two guys do not like each other. As a matter of fact, they hate each other, and so it's not surprising at all. These two guys have been getting into it in games ever since 2009, and it just exploded. It just exploded the other night, and you saw it coming. I mean, like I said, they've gotten into each other's face numerous times, probably almost every time they play against each other. And the other night, it just finally exploded to where we had some fisticuffs going.
Listen, man, that left hook, over the left of Rondo, that Chris Paul with was textbook.
You can tell Rondo come from the streets.
Yeah, he's on him with a nasty left hand. I give Chris Paul a lot of credit. He didn't go down. But I tell you what, though, if Rondo spit on him, yeah, but he didn't go down. But if Rondo spit on him, then Chris Paul was supposed to mug him in the face. He was actually supposed to do more than that if he actually spit on him. But that left that Rondo was hilarious. Rondo is just crazy, bro. He's like Boogie.
He
has a temper.
He definitely spit on him, and Chris Paul did not throw the first punch.
Yeah, can we talk about Brandon Ingram coming from half court, throwing the right hand?
Spit on him,
Brandon Ingram came from like half court through it.
And threw a wild haymaker.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that hit.
He hit somebody.
But he came nuts.
Did you see Chris Paul's wife got pushed by Rondo's girlfriend in the stands while after the fight?
No, I didn't see that.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they said that Rondo's girlfriend pushed Chris Paul's wife. And Chris Paul's wife was sitting next to Savannah, to LeBron's wife. And after the fight happened, I guess, I don't know what, you know, Chris Paul's wife said or what happened in the stands. They said that Rondo's girlfriend pushed her.
I'm sorry, but I lost a little respect, Paul. And from what the very slow motion picture, it looked like he spit in Chris Paul's face.
Yeah, you mean lost respect for Rondo?
No, I lost respect for Chris Paul, but he's not throwing the first punch in this fight.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
You spit on me. I'm pleased.
Is that your trigger? Is that your trigger, Mike? Is that your trigger, Big Mike? The spit.
I think that's a lot of people
right
trigger.
There?
That's your trigger.
That's a lot of people trigger.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You sit on me, I'm throwing a punch at you.
No, I think that's a lot of people.
Chris Paul,
I'll just
and push
mm-hmm.
after that
that's
happened.
That's one of the ultimate disrespects.
Rondo spit on
him. Bill Romanowski, huh? You got Bill Romanowski?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Rondo is crazy. We know it.
He's nuts, man. At Kentucky, I don't know what's wrong with him.
You can't get spit on and not throw a punch.
Agreed. Okay, we're not going to beat this, of course. Okay.
Go
punch something. Go ahead, Drew.
You know, I tell you what, I didn't think the Pelicans were going to lose much without the DeMarcus Russell DeMarcus Cousins. because we didn't have him at the end of the year, and actually we got an addition with Julius Randle. But I actually thought we were going to hurt by losing Rondo a little bit. But I tell you, Elfrid Payton has been phenomenal so far, pushing the pace for the Pelicans. He had double-digit assists in the first two games. At 20 points and 6 assists, 6 rebounds a night. He's been phenomenal, and he's a better athlete than Rondo, too.
He's getting
to the paint at will.
Just wrap us up, Rob. She's going to cut us off. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't cut us off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in again. We had a power-packed show. We covered a lot, obviously a lot of NFL tonight, and a little bit of college football, major leagues, and a little bit of NBA as well. So we covered everything that's happening in the sports world. There's a lot going on right now, obviously. We're in the middle of NFL season, middle of college football. NBA's just getting cranked up. And, of course, we got the World Series going on. So it's a lot that's happening in the sports world. Right now, we try to cover everything that is happening. So we appreciate you tuning in again to another Power Pack show with Talking Sports with a 12-Man. We'll be back at you live on next Tuesday, October 30th, 11 p.m. Eastern for our friends in Atlantic City, Atlanta, Miami, and for our friends in New Orleans, Miami, Dallas, Houston, Austin. We'll be at you at 10 p.m. on next Tuesday night. Our West Coast friends, Portland, Seattle, Las Vegas, or Viva Las Wages, I should say. We'll be at you at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday night next week. So you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Man, y'all boys is crazy. I'm sorry, Drew. I just want to make sure she don't say good night. Thanks for walking
with
y'all. Yeah, you know how she is. Hey, man, I appreciate everybody for listening to this show. I hope you were thoroughly entertained by us this evening. Again, appreciate the love as always. We'll holler at y'all next week. Talk to you later.
Big Mike, you have anything to say?
Oh, Lord.
He walked away. Uh-oh.
No, he's still with because he might. Yeah, he might. Yeah.
Oh, go Pack, go, baby.
So, yeah, I was gonna say.
There it is. Hey, again.
The Washington Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference too.
Here we go. Hey, just to recap everything what everyone said, man, just kind of echo JQ, echo Rob, echo Big Mike, man, had a fantastic time talking with you guys. Power Pack show. Again, we want to appreciate Curtis and Gary for calling in, giving us the Portland recap, the Portland, I guess, the vantage point as well. We'll talk to you guys next week. We'll see if it's every day or every week occurrence, man. Hopefully we can kind of condense everything, and the show keeps getting bigger, better, and more awesomer for you guys too. So, again, we appreciate you guys. Fellas, again, if I don't like text, that doesn't mean I'm not paying attention to you guys. I'm always following what's happening. I got, like, family coming to town, so it's been a crazy, crazy week for me, and I'm still DJing. We're capping from, like, recouping from, like, four events over the weekend, so a lot of things happening, but there's still a lot of love for you guys, no matter what's happening. I try to keep track of everything as what's happening and all that good jazz, too, man. So,
again, we know how to get you riled up. We just got to say something about
No. I'm just saying there's life does go on. There's things happening in our world, too, man. It's not like I don't care, man. So, just... I'm just saying a lot of things happening, and I'm staying busy with business and whatnot, so and family, and just it's been crazy too, man. So my goddaughter's here. Shout out to Zozo from Amsterdam and my cousin, and they're just kind of showing me love too. So it's been crazy, man. So family's here, and there's a lot of love too. But we appreciate you, everyone listening and checking in. And, again, Terry, Terrell, everyone, all the fam, a lot of love, man. So, again, guys, you have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. And, again, we'll keep this going. So, good job. Much love to you guys. You too, Big Mike. We appreciate you checking in with us, man. Have fun.
Yeah,
you guys next week. Good night.
Come on, man.
Good night.
Yep.